Father, we're so glad today for you and your wonderful, loving word. Father, as we come today, I ask that you please touch and help us to hear and to benefit from the truths that you have in your word. Touch me, Lord, to get out of your way. Lord, I don't need to be seen. You need to be seen. Lord, we don't need another touch from man. Today, we need a touch from you. Still learning your way, Lord. Still learning about you and how you reach and touch men. What's most important in your mind. Lead us to that today and help us to comprehend it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I call myself working on the message for the day. And I didn't really, that thing wasn't working, And I don't know if it was 12 this morning or something. I just stopped and just laid back in my chair and just began to just think and just wait. And the Lord began to minister to me. Finally, when I stopped all of the activities, all of my activities, he began to speak to me. And he gave me today's message. And the title of the message is Following the Word. John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's logos for word. It has to do with the thought. It has to do with something, of course, that is said when you say word. In the beginning was the Word. And then it goes on in verse 2 and says, The same was in the beginning with God. The same word, the same logos, was in the beginning with God. It says, All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning. And then in Genesis 1, we go over there and we see the same first three words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was. You know you're about 75% water. That's kind of a stretch from this, but listen, y'all. Oh, no. We're about 75% or more. Your spinal column is made up of about 75 or 80% water. It's supported on little beads of water there in between there. That's why it's important to drink a lot of water. Because it keeps you flushed and it just keeps you healthy. It does a lot. It does a lot. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And guess what he did? God said. God spoke. He said, Let there be light. And there was no argument. There was light. Now, when God said, he spoke a word. This is getting good already. He spoke a word. John 1 tells us that the Word was in the beginning with God. We just read that. The Word was in the beginning with God. And the same was God. God said, Let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1:3, starting in 3, I might kind of gloss over some of this, but 3 says, And God said again, Let there be light. There was light. That's the first day. You want the whole account, you go and read all of Genesis 1. And then in verse 6, And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And it was. That was the second day. Verse 9, And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. That's the third day. And God said, verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. So, I mean, he'd already made day and night before the lights were put in the. You know, think about that for a while. And let them divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, the fourth day. So he just created time on the fourth day. Pretty much what we judge our time by, the seasons and the sun and the moon and the stars. And verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth. In the open firmament of the heaven, fifth day, the birds, as we discussed, Sister D, came from the water. The birds came from the water. Amazing. Now that's a genius in work there now. Oh, man. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And then in verse 26, and God said, let us make man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them, that's plural, so far we're plural. Man was singular, but plural, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The sixth day. Man was made with dominion over the earth. Man does not have the same dominion that he was made with at the beginning. You cannot go out there and rebuke a mosquito and rebuke a lion or a tiger. Don't go in the cage. Don't be deceived. Man lost his dominion. And we got some that say we still have that same dominion. You're going to die. You got some that handle snakes because we have dominion. You're going to die if you keep doing that. Matter of fact, there's a history of them dying, taking up serpents. I'm not taking up a serpent. We have an understanding. When I see one, I go this way and he goes that way. Amen. And never the twain shall meet. Amen. I do not mess around with those things. I don't care if it's a green snake, a grass, a tree snake. We don't share the same area very long. So that was the sixth day of all of the creating and making recorded in Genesis. In Genesis 1, we find that God always spoke first. Then it was so. It was made to be. He spoke, and then it was made to be. It was brought to pass. Back at John 1:3, it tells us this about the word or logos of the beginning. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when God said, the logos got busy. The word, it worked. Oh, by the way, the word works now. Give me a louder amen than that. I am not where I used to be, faith-wise. There was a time I had no better sense than to believe the word of God and stretch as far as I could. Now I've learned so much now, and I'm in another place. God, I want that so bad again. I want that so bad again. It is amazing what walking in faith in God and his word can bring in your life. All things were made by him, the word. Without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 tells us this. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers are different classes of angels, angelic beings. The angels were made by him, and they have their own little hierarchy in the angelic realm. And he set that all in order. And it says this, that he is, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is before. Look at this grammar. Not he was before. He is before. He's a present, right now, God. Just like faith is. Not faith could be, or faith should be, or faith may be. Faith is. That's a right now faith. You know, are you going to heaven? Yes. Not no, I hope so. I pray that I make it. Oh, you're in trouble already. You're not in the right place with this thing. You're not walking in faith. Your faith comes by hearing, and it comes by the word of God. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what all happened, and a whole bunch of things can happen between now and my time. But no matter what happens, God has redeemed me by his blood. Y'all see, hear me get caught up with something and say, that's too bad about Pastor Raspberry. But one thing I know, he's going to be with the Lord. One thing I know, and CBS and ABC or whatever, maybe, oh, this man, this is a... Y'all just remember what the pastor's saying right now. I know that my Redeemer lives. And you got to know that. You got to know it, because things will be loosed on you in this life that make you wonder, is God even real anymore? Come on, y'all. Y'all haven't been there?
Amen.
Yeah. You wonder where he is and where did he go? Why is he doing this to me? Why is he letting this happen to me? He knows what he's doing. You have to keep the faith. John 1:14 tells us, and the word was made flesh. Same word that was in the beginning was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This tells us that God, who dwelt everywhere and nowhere at the same time, condescended to become a flesh man. Well, how can he dwell everywhere and nowhere? Well, he's God. I thought about this when I put this down. Well, that doesn't really make any sense. But if you think about it, God doesn't need anywhere to dwell. He's God. You need somewhere to dwell. You need somewhere to be. You're a man. But he's everywhere and nowhere at the same time. Where can we place? I don't know. He's God. When did he start? He didn't. When does he end? He doesn't. He's God. Don't try to subscribe manly attributes to God. You will miss him every time. He ain't nothing in the world like you. We're made in his image. We're in his image. An image is a replication of the real. That's all we are. It's a replication of the will. Yes, this God condescended to become a man of flesh. The same one that was in the beginning, that created all things, himself became a man made of flesh. Hebrews 10:5 tells us, wherefore, when he comes into the world, it says a little bit more about him. He saith this, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And so, talking about Moses and his law and the sacrifices of the law, and he was saying that these sacrifices, they do nothing anymore. That's what he's saying. But he said, you prepared a body for me. And if we twist it a little more, if all things were made by the Word, then the Word prepared his own body to come. And he got in that body. That's what Colossians say. All things were made by him and for him. He prepared his own body. And then he sent the Holy Ghost to Mary and say, hey, will you do it? And after discussion, she said, yes, I will. And then the Holy Ghost came. Mary became pregnant. And that thing, that holy thing, that thing that shall be born of you, it says, will be called the Son or the Child of the Most High. Philippians 2, 5 and 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to remind you, it says to let. That means don't be resistant. Don't resist. Now, the mind of Christ is a challenging mind to work in your life. It's not easy because it's going to tell you to walk away. It's going to tell you to do certain things that in your own natural mind you would never, ever do. Because it's just against every principle that you've ever grown to know. But he might tell you to do it. That means allow it. Surrender to it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what is that mind? Here it is. Who being in the form of God, and it tells us he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God, Jesus himself, confirmed his pre-incarnate condition and existence with God when he prayed his great prayer in John 17. God, who was in the beginning, condescended. He came down, 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 down. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. He made thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. He made the angelic beings. But he became a little lower than the angels. He became a man. God condescended from his holy estate. He didn't stop in the angelic realm. He condescended below the angels and became a man. He humbled himself. He did. And you know why? For us. He did that for us. I tell you what. He placed himself and he confirmed his existence with God in John 17, verse 1. Listen to the majestic beginning of the prayer of that Logos which became man and was called the Son of God. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He identified himself with God before the world was. And men fought him. They had no idea what Jesus was talking about. They looked at their law that was messed up and broken, and they insisted an answer from him. And he says this to them at one point, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. For in 6 years was this temple in being built, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But the Bible says he spoke of the temple of his body. Very, very, very different. When he had his discussion with the woman at the well in Samaria, in a city called Sychar, he was talking to this woman. And they got into a discussion about worship and where to worship. And she says, you're asking water for me? He says, look, she says, our fathers worship in this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place that you ought to worship. And he says, woman, the hour will come, and now is, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He knew his purpose. He knew the plan. He knew the way to achieve it. And he performed it through the complete keeping of the law of Moses, which included one last perfect sacrifice. In spirit and in truth. The place of worship now is not a building, which we say all the time. It's not a building. It's not a temple in Jerusalem. It's not a mountain that the Samaritans used to worship in their own temple that they made up. The place of worship now is the temple of the Holy Ghost in you. This is the temple now. This is the place of worship. He says the time is coming when they'll neither worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed in 70 AD, and it was. It was destroyed and burned to the ground. There was no temple to worship in anymore. But he said worship is going to continue, but it must be this kind of worship, spirit and true worship. That means Jesus has to be in there to do it. He kept the law of Moses completely. Have you ever considered that Jesus was the only human sacrifice ever accepted by God? You ever thought about that? Abraham almost killed Isaac, but he stopped it. And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. That's what Abraham said. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Yeah, he was glad he didn't have to kill Isaac for sure. Somehow Abraham got a vision of some type. He saw his day. He says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He provided himself. Listen, God provided himself. That's all. God came. He provided himself. He came himself. God will provide himself. He could have just stopped right there. But that's what he did, because he, the Word, became flesh. God provided himself. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he spent 40 more days in his resurrected body on this earth. 40 after his resurrection. Not before, but after his resurrection. Listen to what Luke, the physician, was inspired to write in Acts chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Not many days. That was the day of Pentecost when this happened. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What Jesus came to do, he started in the beginning as the Logos. God spoke, Logos made it happen. He was God in the beginning. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. He did all of the creating and making. He did. He was there. The Bible says all things were created by him and for him. He did it. He performed it. And then when he came on this earth, he became a flesh man and walked on this earth. Why? Because of the fall of Adam, so that mankind could be restored to God. And as he was walking among these men, his own, they fought with him and fussed with him and accused him and eventually crucified him, thinking that they were silencing his voice. But what they were doing was they were giving him a megaphone. to speak with. Hallelujah. And then he went on with his plan. He was crucified, buried. In 3 days, he got the key, the authority from whoever in death. And he rose again. He said, all authority and all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, he said. He rose with all power and all authority. Man had no idea what he came here to do. But that wasn't the end of it. Because what he does now, that he's ascended up into the heaven, and he sent his Holy Ghost back through the agency of his Holy Ghost. Y'all, he lives inside of you. And he lives inside of me. Oh, my God. Who would have figured out what he was doing when he came? Who could have ever put this thing together? But only he knew. That's why he continued on the path he was going. Because first he made man and he breathed into man the breath of life. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but not the last Adam. He was made a life-giving spirit and a spirit that gives life. And he's given us life, but he's come. Hey, you remember the phones where the cords was plugged into the wall and the phone rang? You had to run all the way across the room to get it and hurry up before it stopped. And you got to sit there at the little thing that they have for phones, and you have a conversation to finish. And you go, yeah, we got a telephone. And then they came with the lines that reached from here to back there where Georgia's sitting at. And oh, boy, we was really doing something then. I could go in the kitchen and cook and talk. But look at it. They messed around and got some wireless phones. And folks were standing out in the driveway having conversation. You drive by and say, wow, I cannot believe it. They're having the conversation on a wireless phone. Man, what else will man think about? Well, y'all, the Holy Ghost is our wireless connection. Amen. Oh, come on now. The Holy Ghost is our wireless connection to heaven, our wireless connection to God. And he did something. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In other words, he entreats for us. He entreats in our favor. He's constantly speaking up for us. He's constantly working for our good. You say, well, this ain't good. Well, it don't look good to you. But listen, he knows what's best. He knows what you need. And a lot of times you don't know what you do. You know what you think you want. But, you know, then you get it. You be praying to figure out, how can I get rid of this thing? Amen now. You fighting, fussing, fast and pray and fuss at God and you break through. You don't let the mind of Christ be in you. You insist and your soul takes over and your soul gets to working in the psychic realm. Y'all, come on now. Y'all help me. It gets to working in the psychic realm and stuff start coming to you and you say, God, just bless me with this. And then that thing gets and crawls up in your lap and you say, what in the world is this? And how do I get it off my lap? And it's got big old nasty teeth. And I know I'm speaking figurative, but you pull some things down that you don't want, that you think you want, y'all. I know I can't go to the Bible and show you this. I can show you how man is made a soul. And I could show you how sometimes the soul of man gets in the way of God. And you know, I want it. I'm going to have it. And I want a house. I'm going to have this house. You know, you can't afford an apartment, but you want a full bedroom house. You're going to push past God, say, just take it easy, just wait. We're going to get you in a financial position where you can do it. No, you're going to have this house right now, and you get the house, and you can't pay the bills, you can't eat. You lose your car trying to keep the house. God knows what you need. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself. We need to learn how to be humble. We need to learn how to be thankful for what we have. Thank God. Listen, God told me one time, he says, try to avoid notoriety. In other words, try not to become famous. Well, that's the whole opposite of what I was trying to do years ago. I wanted to be the most famous singer in the biggest singing group in Miami, in Jacksonville, whatever city. I didn't care. I wanted to be up on the stage. And I didn't make it. Thank God I didn't make it. Yeah. I'm on a different stage, but y'all know what I'm saying. I was going after this thing. He had another plan for me. We needed to meet. We needed to spend this kind of time together. Okay, give me two more amens. Amen. All right. That encouraged me. I like to hear those. Now, how about Hebrews 4:14? Seeing then that you have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's making intercession for us there. He is our high priest. And the Bible says he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, he knows what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with. Why? He was here. The Bible says he was tempted in all points. You mean he was tempted with drugs? Well, does drugs include all? Yes or no? Listen, he was tempted on the cross with drugs. Because they put that sponge, that was something to kind of deaden the pain. So don't tell me he wasn't tempted. That's the last picture that he was tempted with drugs. Well, was he tempted with women? Oh, come on now. Does women include all things? Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I know one thing he wasn't tempted with. You don't know one thing that he wasn't tempted with. You are not unique in this. He has been tempted in all things, and he knows where we are. He knows what's going on. This Jesus of ours, who's now at the right hand of God the Father, is still operational. I'm going to give you just a couple of descriptions of this Jesus in the Spirit. In Acts 26, the Apostle Paul, the greatest church prosecutor in those days, and Paul was on his way in Acts 26:12, and he's recounting this experience with King Agrippa. He says, whereunto as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, and he was going to arrest Christians and drag them back to Jerusalem to have them tried for high treason. And he was dragging them back to Jerusalem. Y'all look at me now. Y'all look at me. Come on. Y'all come on. Don't get distracted. Okay. Y'all keep your focus up here. Listen to what I'm saying to you. God has got everything in control. Amen. Okay, now, pay attention, because that happens. Sometimes the distractions come, okay? Anything you can do right now. If you want to do something, pray. But listen to this word now, because we're almost through. Whereupon, Acts 26:12, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, Paul said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, but it wasn't the way that men saw Jesus. He saw a light that enveloped them, that encompassed them. And this light was brighter than the light of the sun. He said it was above the light of the sun. If you look into the light of the sun, you're going to lose some sight. And so this was a light that blinded Paul. The Bible says that he was blinded by this light, but it was a spiritual blindness that took place, because later Paul went and was ministered to, and it says that there were scales on his eyes. And when Ananias prayed for him, those scales fell from his eyes. But that light developed some type of a scale on his eyes. That was the Jesus that Paul saw. And in Revelation 1, as we close, John, the youngest of the disciples of Jesus, called the beloved disciple, the disciple that Jesus loved. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, verse 9, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was banished to that isle. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So that's the voice that he heard, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and to Ephesus, and to Samaria, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That means I saw a man clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance, that is his appearance, was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, his dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. It goes on and it says, as we close here, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. We find the appearance of Jesus Christ is as a shining appearance. His countenance is shining countenance above the light of the sun. That's our Jesus. I want to see him. We need a closer walk with him, church. We have some things that are probably holding us back or getting in the way. Church, y'all need to work on these things. You need to pray with him. Pray to him about these things. I want us to be the powerful little church on Apple Yard Drive. But in order to do that, we have got to die to self. Because yourself will not allow the man of Christ. It will not let the mind of Christ be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is possible. Because the scripture says so. Are you going to do that? You going to at least try? Just try. Everything that you practice, you get better at if you keep practicing it. You never won your first race, or you might have, but you didn't win every race. You might not have won your first wrestling match, but you won some. You won some, you lost some. But in this thing, you just keep growing in him. This is a spiritual thing. Everything that you practice, you get better at. Do it in traffic. Do it at home. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your friends. Do it at work. Let them go. Let it go. Give it to them. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Let it go. Well, Father, we are so glad today for this message. For you finally arresting me and getting my attention or allowing me to run out of myself. Brother Oliver, come on, let me pray with you.